every week. Thank you so much. So I'm going to read from Isaiah, the passage on which Andy's going to speak. And it's Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 11. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guide. God, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail.
Okay, good morning to you. It's great to be with you. As said earlier, I do enjoy being with you. It's no hardship coming here. Just to prepare Lee, I was baptised there 30-odd years ago, as I tell everyone when I come here. So we've got lots of things in common. So enjoy October the 5th, when it's your opportunity to celebrate what Jesus has begun in your life. And I want to thank you for, as Judy's mentioned, the generous gift that he gave us after the 60th anniversary. It was great to be part of the celebration here, to connect with old friends and new friends. So thank you for your generosity of gift, and thank you for your continuing partnership with the egg boxes, with the food, and helping us as we help and serve this wonderful community here. I see it that we're working in partnership with the local church, and so it's really great that we together can partner and do God's work in this area. So thank you very much for that, and what a fantastic scripture that Judy read us right at the end there. Who wouldn't want to have a life that was where the Lord is guiding us, where he satisfies our needs, where we'd be like a well-watered garden whose spring waters never fail? That's the sort of life that I want. That's the sort of life that I'm living for. And that's that picture of fasting helps us to show our dependence on God. Fasting is giving aside, setting aside something to focus in, to realign with what God would have for our life. And Isaiah describes there a definition of fasting, which isn't just abstaining from food, but it's actively working out for justice, God's justice, God's compassion for here, Southcote, for Reading, for the world. That's why Jesus came. And this passage we read emphasises actions to show that heart of compassion, to show that heart of justice to a hurting world. And when we live it out, as I say, all that promise of God's blessing we will see in our life, God's provision we will see in our life, God's restoration and deliverance in our own lives we will see as we live out the truth of that passage. We've seen as a charity the provision as we've gone, as we've served, as hopefully we've been his hands and feet to those that are less fortunate than us. We have seen God miraculously provide for us. And in a climate which it gets harder and harder, I give thanks that God is our source. He is our provider. So as Christians, we are called to action. We're called to action to show and live out our faith. It's meant to be an active. It's meant to be a doing word, doing something with our faith. We're not just here to gather, as good as it is on a Sunday morning and good as it is in homes together. And that's one of the reasons why I enjoy visiting other churches, because I feel that we are the family of God together. We're in this together. That although we might live in different places, and although we might be in different times and different churches on different Sundays, but together, when we come together, I feel that we are one in Christ together, because we are brothers and sisters. And I guess you would feel that as well. So as Christians, we're joined together as family to live out our faith, to live out what the Bible says, to be called to action, and particularly to remember those that are less fortunate than us. We are called to respond to the needs of those that are less fortunate than us, those that are poor, those that are lacking food, those that are lacking shelter, those that are lacking clothing, as we read in that passage. We're called to respond to poverty around us. Now, personally, I think poverty isn't of God. Personally, I think poverty is a result of the fall and is sin that just we're living in our society. It's certainly not as God intended. God is a heart of abundance. God is a heart of blessing. God is a heart of favour. God is a heart of amazing things in our lives, but yet we see so much poverty around us. And we're not called to judge, we're not called to ask questions, we're not called to point fingers and say how, why, what, and ask those questions. All we're asked to do is to remember those that are poor, remember those that are struggling, remember those that need a bit of shelter, that need some food, that need a bit of help. And we read, or you might have read some time ago in Galatians, a famous passage where Paul meets the church. Paul and Barnabas had been out travelling, as Nathaniel and Joel reminded us. Paul was a great traveller across the world. And as they came back and they met with James and Peter and John. And this is what Galatians 2 says. James, Peter and John, those esteemed pillars, gave me, Paul, and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. There they are, the church coming together, and they were greeted with love and with fellowship. They recognised the grace that had been given to them, and they agreed that they should go to all the Gentiles and share the word. All they asked, in all the things that they could have done, all they asked was that they should remember the poor. And Paul said, the very thing I'm eager to do. So there's James, there's Peter, there's John, the pillars of the apostles, the top boys, let's say, of the ultimate three that met with Jesus in that inner circle. And of all the things that they could have said to Paul and Barnabas, in all the things as they go travelling amongst all the Gentiles, the one thing they said was, remember the poor. Remember the poor. And that's my encouragement to us today, is to remember the poor. In the busyness of the life, and I guess in the season that lots of us find ourselves in with holidays and that rhythm of life, let's reflect a bit and remember the poor. Those around us that can't afford food, those around us that certainly can't afford holidays, those around us that can't afford cars and things that we take for granted. Through the pantries, you know, we meet a whole host of different people, and we meet people regularly that are not only struggling with food, but their accommodation is just mould infested, really bad for them. We meet people that just their washing machines break and they just can't buy washing machines and get fixed. Things that we take for granted. If our washing machine died, most of us would be able to go out to Currys and buy a new one. But a lot of people behind doors aren't. And so the Bible says to us to remember those that are poor. So why should we do that? Why are we encouraged? Not only as Barnabas and Paul were encouraged, but God has a heart for the poor. you know there's over 2,000 references in the Bible about the poor and about God's heart is for the poor and the needy, those that are less fortunate to us. So as followers of Christ, as disciples of Jesus, if you're like me, we want to model our life as best as we can around God and God's heart and God's character and God's characteristic. And so therefore, I want to model my life and I want to remember those that are poor that I come in contact with, those that I feel God is drawing upon my heart to be able to stand with, to encourage with, to provide with. So I'm praying for myself. This isn't just a message to be sort of projected out there. This is a message I'm saying to myself, because I could do more to remember the poor. I could do more to have a heart for the poor and the needy. I want to have a heart that God has. So as I say, there's over 2,000 references that we could pick this morning, and we'd have a long service, wouldn't we, if we read all 2,000 references. But the Bible is sharp, as we know, and the Bible is God's word. So I want the Bible to speak to us this morning rather than my words. I want it to be God's words into our hearts, because it's him that changes us. It's his word that changes us. So I haven't got 2,000, you'll be glad to know, but I've got a few that I've picked out that we're just going to look through this morning in the next few minutes together to see if we can together as family catch again God's heart for the poor. That together as family, as we go out and do our normal stuff, we can remember those that are less fortunate to us. And it can be as simple as bringing the egg boxes in. And I thank you again for things like that. It can be as simple as bringing in these lovely Molly cakes, isn't it nice, isn't it? For the pantry. It can be a whole host of different things. But our antennae, our vision, our emphasis should be, as God is, having a heart for the poor. So Deuteronomy 15, we're going to delve straight in. We're going to work our way through and see what God says to us. Deuteronomy 15, I'll read these out to us. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, so anyone who is poor in our congregation, anyone needing a bit of help in our fellowship, how should we act? All right, this bit. Do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted. It's an interesting word, isn't it? Let's not be tight-fisted. Let's be open-handed and freely lend to them whenever people are in need. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. And then what happens? Because the Lord your God will bless you and your work in everything you do and put your hand to. Often we think, as we give, yes, we are giving, oh dear, we're going to go behind, we're going to go without this, we're going to be lacking things. But I want to promise to you, I can testify in my life, as I've given, God has given so much more back to me. I've had some major points in my life that I've had to choose big decisions. One of them was I worked for a Japanese company, and I was asked whether I wanted to be the regional director, which meant a lot of responsibility, yeah, a lot of money, nice, lots of cars, all those nice perks. But actually, after thinking about it, I went to them and said to them, actually, I don't feel this is the right journey for me. I don't think this is what God would want me to do in the rest of my life. So thank you for the offer, but I'll say no. And they couldn't believe that I would turn down the sort of benefits that they think they are offering. Yeah, I want to say to you, since that day, I managed still to earn more than the regional director because I sold more, did more, and God blessed me. Seek first the kingdom of God, and he will add in everything. Seek first God's kingdom. So let's not be tight-fisted. I'm speaking to myself now. Let's not be hard-hearted, Andy. Let's be generous. Let's give. And I tell you, God will come through for you. Proverbs, Book of Wisdom. The generous themselves will be blessed. Who wants to be blessed? Who wants to feel happy? For they share their food with those who are poor. Those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them receives many curses. Let's not close our eyes. Let's not walk over the other side of the road. Let's not cross over. Let's engage. I don't know how you are with people in Broad Street when they come up to you and chat to you. Most people, to be honest, just want someone to listen to them. Just want someone to hear their story and to stand with them and spend a bit of time with them. Most people that we're working with do not have the privilege of being in family like this. Do not have the privilege of having people to speak to. I think I told you the story that I met a guy who got diagnosed with terminal illness on the Tuesday. On the Friday, he saw me and hadn't been able to tell anyone because he didn't know anyone to tell. Let's not close our eyes. Let's have our doors open in our communities, on our streets. Let's be looking out. Let's be remembering those that need a bit of help. Proverbs goes on to say, whoever is kind to the poor and lends to the Lord, he will reward them for what they have done. Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also have their cry out and not be answered. There we go. We pray. God answers. God listens. God's interested in our prayers. And it's so much easier if we work with God, if we have that heart of God, if we embrace biblical principles for God to be able to break into our life. So let's not push the poor aside, because otherwise our cry will be drowned out and maybe our prayers won't be answered. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honours God. I want to be a person that honours God. I want to be a person that lives as best as I can to show God is the most important person to be revered and loved and worshipped. Right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, if you remember when he stood up on that day in the synagogue and he read from Isaiah again, and it's written for us in Luke chapter 4 as well, he basically went on and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he anointed me to proclaim what? Good news to the poor." It's good news for everyone. Wherever you are, wherever you live, whatever your background, whatever your education, it is good news. Jesus came to bring good news, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to recover the sight of the blind and set the oppressed free, as we read in Isaiah 58 earlier, or Julie read for us. It was Jesus' vision statement. He came to be and bring good news. So first and foremost, why should we remember the poor? Why should we be interested with those that are less fortunate than ourselves? The first one is, it's the heart of God. It's the right centre of God's characteristic that he is for the marginalised. He is for the poor. He is for the refugee. He is for those that are less fortunate than us. That is his heart. That is his character. And that should be ours. So number one, we should have the same heart of God in our lives. Number two, why should we be interested in remembering the poor? Is that every person is valuable and precious in God's sight. Everyone is valuable and precious to God. Everyone is unique. Everyone, Jesus came and died and took their sin on that cross. Every person is made in the image of God. Every person is valued and precious to God. And if they're so valued and precious and unique to God, I want to have that same characteristic. That whoever I meet, whatever they're wearing, however they're smelling, whatever they're doing, whatever affliction, addiction, or whatever they're in, they are loved. They are precious. They are unique. They are made in the image of God. Yes, like me, they might not be living that out as best as they could in decisions that they're making, but they are unique and loved to God. Therefore, whoever we meet, whoever we see, whoever comes into our pantries, we should treat them with dignity, with respect, with love, with grace. In James, as we read some time ago, I guess you've read regularly, James 2 says, do not show favouritism to anyone. Let's not show special treatment if someone comes in on a Sunday or comes in on a Tuesday or comes in on a Friday to the prayer meeting because they look nice, they have the right things, they smell good, they talk good. But whoever they are, let's open our doors. Let's remember those that need to be loved. Let's remember those that are out there that need to be in here, loved into the kingdom of God. We need to demonstrate God's heart to everyone and anyone, whoever they are. We are all equal in Christ. Proverbs again says, rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. We have a generous God. God has given us everything. And we need to be those generous people that freely it's been given and freely we give it away. We don't want to be a bottleneck. We don't want to be a restrictor. We want to be able to bless those with what we've got. Bless those with sharing with things. Bless those with giving of our time, with giving of our resources, with giving of our talents. Let's be people that invest in people. Let's be people that have that heart of God, acknowledging remembering the poor, but remembering that everyone is unique and everyone is loved by Christ. So why should we remember the poor? It's the heart of God. It's the heartbeat of the gospel. It's the heartbeat of why Jesus came. Why should we remember the poor? Because everyone is loved. Everyone is valued. Everyone is unique. Why should we remember the poor? Once we were aliens from God. Once we were away from God. Once we were poor in spirit, if not materially, because we were away from God. And God rescued us. So if God rescued us, what's God's character? God wants to rescue everyone. Whether they're poor materially or poor in spirit, wherever they are, God wants to rescue everyone. God is in the business of rescuing people, of seeing people baptized daily, of people coming in to the kingdom of God. 1 John 3 says this. This is how we know what love is. This is a real challenge. Are we really gospel-centered people? Are we really people that live out the heartbeat of what God is? This is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. We should be willing to give of ourselves if one of our brothers and sisters is struggling. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother and sister in need, but has no pity on them, is tight-fisted, he's hard-hearted, he says, I'm going to walk over the other side of the street. How can that person have the love of God inside them? How can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. In action and in truth, let us remember the poor in action and in truth. If we don't, then really, have we got the Spirit of God inside us? Are we really living out biblical truths of God's heartbeat for the lost world that wants people added into his kingdom? One more verses, one more section to read, and then a sum up. This was the last story that Jesus told before his death and resurrection. And it's the famous story of the sheep and the goats. It was the last thing when he sat down with the crowds, with his disciples, and he told his last sermon. And he said this, when the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels were with him, he will sit in his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed, be my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you a sick or in prison and go and visit you? When did we see you do all these things? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me in. I needed clothes, and you didn't clothe me. I was sick, and I was in prison, and you didn't look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did you see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison, or did you not help you? He replied, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me. Then go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The last thing that Jesus spoke about. The first thing, I'm here to proclaim good news to the poor, good news to Southcote, good news to our neighbours. The last thing was how we worked out that gospel intention, how we were intentional with that action that we're called to as followers of Christ. So my challenge to you, as we leave on a lovely Sunday lunch, lovely Sunday weather, let's be gospel-centred people. Let's be generous to those that we come in contact with, especially remembering the poor. Let's remember those that have less than us. Let's remember those that need shelter, that need clothing, that need food, that need visiting, that need looking after. And as we do that, we don't do it for this reason, but as we do it, God blesses us so much, gives us so much, provides for us so much. And we'll be like that verse that Judy read to us. We will be like a well-watered garden, a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. I'm going to pray and I'm going to hand back to Judy. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's alive. Thank you that it's sharp. Thank you that through your words you change us. And Lord, as we've heard and as we've read and as we know that you have a heart for those that are struggling, for those that are poor, for those that are neglected, for those that are lost, those that are needing support, needing help, needing food, needing clothes, needing love. And I pray for us as gospel-centred disciples, followers of you, that we again would catch hold of your heart. We again, as we leave here, will not go blasé, but we will remember what you said to Paul and Barnabas. In all the action, in all that going on, we would remember those that are poor. So help us today to live your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.